people distant from the churches. People think that there's something I need to do to make a change before God will accept me. And I'm here to debunk that myth today. God will accept you just like you are. You see, and he does that because he loves you. He made a solution for you that you may not even know about. That's that good news we talk about, which we call the gospel. It's good news. God loves you. He will accept you just like you are. And he wants to make that relationship with you better than it has been before. I remember having a cursory relationship with God. In other words, it was not deep. And it gets deeper and deeper now, more and more. You know, I believed that there was a God all the time when I was a kid. But I never really had a relationship with God. You know, I got to a certain point in my life when it felt like I was having issues that were God-sized issues. Didn't realize I'd been having them all the time. And he had been taking me through them all the time. See, but when I got to one that I perceived, boy, this is over my head, then I could actually hear in the back of my mind, it wasn't an actual voice, but I could hear the voice of my grandmother, who had passed sometime before when I was about 10 years old. And she had told me then, if you ever get in something that's over your head, call on the Lord. Call on Jesus. He will help you. And somehow, I don't know where that came from. It just came out the back of my mind. And I knew I was in trouble then. I didn't realize I was in trouble before. See, that was the difference. You didn't know you were in trouble. But when trouble made itself manifest, now I understand that this is trouble. And it's over my head. I can't deal with it. It's too much. Then I heard that voice saying, call on Jesus. And so I did. And what really blessed me, brothers and sisters, when I called, he answered. He came to my rescue. You know, somehow I knew it was going to be all right. And I don't know exactly how that is, but God has a way to communicate with you. He wants to let you know right now, wherever you are in life, I want to be in your mix. I want to be involved with what you're dealing with. And I want to bless you. God has already been blessing you. He said, but I really want to bless you. I want to warm up this relationship. Amen. So we're going to tell you a little bit about that, and then we're going to get out of your mix here. We do have a service this afternoon. We were at a banquet on yesterday in the honor of Pastor Bartlett. It was really nice. And so today we'd like to celebrate with them. Amen. And so we're going to go right ahead today. I'm going to ask the deacons to come. I have a few verses that I pulled out here that I think are going to minister to you this morning. Amen. And we pray that this will bless you throughout the day and the rest of your days. Amen. So I'd like you to give close attention to the reading of the word. We have a passage from the Old Testament in the book of the Psalms. Number 32, one of my favorites. I shouldn't say that. I said that last night. Every time I mention a scripture, I said, well, that's one of my favorites. People said, don't even say it. Just don't say it, Pastor. We know you like the whole book. But in either case, and also one from the New Testament, from Paul's letter to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verses 12 to 15. Give your careful attention to the reading and the hearing of the inerrant word of God. Amen. My. The word of the Lord to the people of the Lord. May God bless the hearing and the reading of his holy word.
And a person, and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it frequently in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful thing and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners.
Amen. Amen. The word of the Lord to the people of the Lord. You may be seated in the sanctuary in the presence of the Lord. Amen. We want to use for a topic today, cleansed by the power of Jesus by grace. Amen. Cleansed by the power of Jesus by grace. Amen. I picked that topic because the subject matter here in both the Old and the New Testament scripture reading is, what does man do with sin in his life? How does he perceive sin? What is the way to deal with things in our lives that the scriptures call sin? Sin is not a popular subject in the world today. People don't want to hear about it. We rather suppress that. I was mentioning that in a message recently, that people want to edit God and take out certain things that God has said. And I've often wondered, how can you have that kind of audacity to edit God? If God talks about sin, the church must talk about sin. And you can't just sweep it under the carpet and act like it doesn't exist. What is sin? Just to give a brief biblical definition, sin is the transgression of God's word and his law. And you know what? Most people agree that the things that God says are good are good. Who thinks it's a good thing for you to lie? We don't want anybody to lie to us. So lying is not good. We would universally agree that it's not good. If we talked about murder, who wants to be murdered? No one. So I think everybody would agree that you shall not kill is a good thing. And you can go on and on. You shall not commit adultery. Who wants to be cheated on? No one. You can go on down the list of things God has said, both in the old and the new, and you would agree that these things are good, that God establishes things of that sort. You shall not steal. How would you like it if someone came and took stuff that you worked hard for and just took it and took it away from you? You wouldn't approve of that, would you? So you shall not steal is obviously a good thing that most people agree that is a very good thing. And it's not a matter of whether we agree or not. It's, in this case, as God said, you shall not steal. You shall not lie. We could go on and on. But we're not actually want to talk about that because I think that part of it is evident. But what I want you to see is that it always has been necessary for God to forgive sinners. He started it with Adam all the way back when he first gave one law. He had one law. Adam had one law. He could have done anything else he wanted. God had never said anything else, but you shall not eat of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. That's the first law. And what did Adam do? He had an unholy snack along with his wife. And ever since then, there's been sin in the world. See what I'm saying? Because it was unholy because God said, don't do it. And so that's what it was. And he was coerced actually through his wife by Satan. And so this was an ugly thing, but that started the destruction of the human family, and it still exists in us. And I think if we don't talk about it, we're going to have more trouble than if we do. And I know that's true because people want to sweep it under the carpet. That's the devil trying to tell you, don't talk about that. You know, that he told her, oh, that ain't really what God said, is it? Jesus said he's a liar and a murderer from the beginning. He came before to kill, steal, and destroy. See? That's what his intention is. But Jesus said, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So I just want to say this, just to put all of this in a capsule and to get our time moving ahead here. God loves people. He loves sinners. He could have rubbed man out then easy because I only had one. I could just crush you in the ground back to the dust you came from. That's it. Done deal. But he didn't. Why not? Because God never changes. When he made the earth and everything that's in it and he gave Adam dominion over it, that was the greatest gift man has ever received. Still blessing us now. Everybody in here is being supported by what God made and gave to mankind that you might have dominion over it. In other words, I put this under your feet to provide everything you need and to show you how awesome I am. As you can look at the creation, the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. When you look up there and the closest star you can see is so far away that if you could travel at the speed of light, you couldn't hardly ever get there before your life was over because of the brevity of life. That's deep, boy. That's some awesome stuff. You know, God slung those stars out in heaven. People are still making better telescopes trying to see deeper out there. And so, there's some more galaxies over here. And you know what God said? When you look, you get the ability to look farther, you're going to find out there's some more galaxies that you don't know about. And I did that so that men would fear me, it says in the book of Ecclesiastes. So we should have a special reverence for a God that's that awesome, that made everything and set everything in order as it is. And you know what? The things God set in order are still in order. The moon does what it does every night. The sun does what it does every day. It never has changed in my whole lifetime. And I'm going to say in yours too, because I know I'm most older than most of you. Some of y'all might have me beat by a couple of seconds or whatever. But in either case, we know the consistency of God's creation. And so the problem of sin is something that God has been dealing with. David, the king who writes this psalm, here it says in Psalm number 32, which is a psalm of David, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Transgression is the willful breaking of God's law. When I know it's wrong and I'm going to do it anyway because I want to. That's what transgression is. That's the difference between that and me slipping into something that I didn't know was sin. See, and there's different categories of that. We're not going to break all that down today. But I just want you to see that even the king, a person who God had blessed, said that the one is blessed whose transgression is forgiven. That means God's chosen not to judge you for it, and whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Now, there's a difference with iniquity. The word iniquity talks about my natural inborn desire and proclivity to sin. It's that it doesn't mean transgression is when I know something and I willfully disobey it. Iniquity is where my mind doesn't think right. I don't come up with the right thing. I do what I want to do because I'm twisted on the inside. That's what iniquity is. We could call it original sin if we wanted to slap some theological title on it. It's that desire within you to go astray and not do everything right. And so, therefore, he said, notice also this, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When God does not impute iniquity to us and we have no guile, guile is when we try to be a trickster, so to speak. We don't speak straight up. You know, we try to twist the story and bend the truth and all of that to get around the situation. Guile, we could say, is hypocrisy, where I speak something that's not really true of myself. You know, and basically, you know, Jesus, when he saw Nathanael, one of his disciples in the New Testament, coming, he says, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no guile. See, that was how he described him. He's a true person. He says the truth about his situation. He doesn't sugarcoat it, as we might say, or try to cover it up or make it something that it isn't. So this is what David says here. The king of Israel, we know he had his issues. We're not going to exhaust that today. But blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. In other words, he takes a true analysis of himself before God, and he speaks the truth about his situation. And so the reason this is important is that I want you to know that throughout all the history of mankind, ever since Adam, all the way up to this very second, the only way people have ever been able to be right with God is by his grace and his forgiveness. And the reason for that is that in eternity past, before God made anything, before, as the Bible says, before the foundation of the world, Jesus, the Son of God, had agreed with the Father to redeem man, because they already knew the course of human history, that everyone would sin and come short of the glory of God. But yet God's love, he protected it even before the transgression took place. And then it was revealed in time that he would give his son in order to deliver all who trust in him and believe in him. And that the proclamation of that news is the purpose of the church. Did you know that? The reason the church exists is not just to do good deeds. It's basically to tell the world the gospel, the good news, that God has given his son, a decree that came out of eternity so that whosoever believes in him should not perish. You know, we mention that all the time. The gospel in a nutshell is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever, that means anybody, anywhere, of any persuasion, any color, any gender, in black, white, male, female, Jew or Gentile, anybody on the planet. We have the most universal message of any so-called religion, because our message is to the world. Jesus dispatched 12, actually 11, the direct dispatching, but when he got out of the grave, Matthew 28:18, and this is why we know we should trust Jesus, because he's the only one that defeated sin and death. The wages for sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When he got out of the grave, that was the validation that his credentials were the only ones that are acceptable. Because he got out of the grave, defeated death, which is the penalty for sin. No one else has ever done that. Let me add that to my statements here. That's why time is centered on Christ, because he is the most profound individual that has ever lived. Never been another one like him. Never will be. So therefore, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, Ephesians 4 and 5. One way to be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. See, John 14, 6. And so we want to be very clear, black and white clear, that we are cleansed by the power of Jesus, and it is by grace. No, grace means that we do not get what we deserve. We get God's blessing rather than his judgment, is a better way to put it. Mercy is also a form of grace, because God doesn't give me what I deserve. By his mercy, in other words, I know you pitiful fisher, so I'm not going to give you what you deserve. I'm going to hold back that judgment from you, and I'm giving you a chance to repent. That means turn around about what you believe about me and my son. And then when you do and you accept Christ, that's grace. That's when I'm going to bless you, even though I have not judged you. I'm going to bless you and adopt you into my family. And you have to be adopted. The Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh. You're born in the flesh, you're in the sin of Adam. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, he must be born again. In other words, born from above, which is when the Lord himself gives you the revelation that you can be cleansed by the power of Jesus by his grace. And that's what the revelation of the gospel is that I understand that I have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I need to be forgiven. God is the only one. He's the most high court that there is. I've never stood before a judge with more authority. And you know, when you stand before an earthly judge, I don't know what it does for you. But when I go in the courtroom, it's like, oh, my goodness. You know, I come with fear and trembling. Because he's sitting up there with a gavel that he can slam down and determine what's going to happen to me. I remember I was in that position one day. I said, oh, my God, I was calling on the Lord. I want you to be with me. I'm walking in the fear of the Lord. That was with an earthly judge, because he has authority. He's been given authority. He can say, take him out that door into the cells in the prison, or he can say, you can go free out this door. See, so that was a fearful thing. Now imagine on judgment day, when you stand before the Almighty, you know, and there'll be no place to hide. You'll be in his presence, you and him. And the only question he's going to have for humanity is, what did you do about with my son? Did you trust in Christ? Did you hear the message I gave my son so that whoever trusts in him can receive my grace? You know, if you do, then you're going to be delighted, because he's going to accept you. There's no other reason why God would accept you. He has given one reason to all of mankind, and that's why he gave his son Jesus. And it's 2017, the world acknowledges it in a cursory way. We're counting time based on his first coming, but people don't really get it in their spirit, in their heart, that I need a relationship with him. God gave him so we can be close. That's why he gave Jesus. He wants you to be close. He wants to live in you, not only be close, but when you trust in Christ, the Spirit of God is given to you. He moves in. And that's the Holy Spirit who takes residence in everyone who believes. Now, everybody, it's hard for people to get through this because pride gets in the way. We think, oh, I'm not that bad. I haven't really done that. But we start weighing out good and bad. You know how much sin it took for Adam to be a sinner? One sin. It was not anything heinous. What did he do? He ate a piece of fruit. The reason it was bad is God said, don't eat it. So it was a disobedience to his word. The fruit wasn't bad. There was no sin in the fruit. Everything God made was holy. The problem was, I said, don't eat it, and you did. See, you believed your wife who believed Satan, and you did what I said, don't do. So sin is that subtle. God wants you to know the subtlety of sin. Doesn't take much. So now if I look at me, I say, boy, I'm really toast then, aren't I? Compared to what he did. And so I need Jesus. I'm going to confess right here. And I trust him, because God cannot lie. He cannot lie. He said, if you believe my son, I forgive you. He's went on record to the whole world. I so loved the world, I gave my son. so that whoever believes in him will not perish. So that's a promise. He won't take it back. So if you believe him, you will be saved. Very simple. David understood that. That's why he said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord, that's the Most High Judge, imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Be for real about where you are in the sight of the holy God. Paul himself, he was a part of the Pharisees. He said in Philippians 3, he was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, found blameless. You know, he said, I had all the pedigree. I did all the steps of what it took to be considered righteous by man. But then he said here in writing to Timothy, his understudy, and I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, see that, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Wasn't because of that stuff I did. I counted all that but dumb, he said, after I, in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, and being found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but the righteousness which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all who trust and believe in him. So he's telling Timothy now, he used to be in verse 13, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious. In other words, he even went around hurting people because they didn't believe like he believed. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. He confesses his ignorance and unbelief right there in verse 13. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That's our message, cleansed by the power of Jesus by grace. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Wow, I'm the chief of sinners. I thought you were a Pharisee, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin. Thought you were all that. Paul said, I was, but I count that but rubbish in view of the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. Salvation, which is the term used in the scriptures to discuss the way and the means by which a sinner is rescued from the darkness and destructive power of their sinful state into the sight of a perfectly holy God, has always been a free gift provided by God on the basis of the merit of Jesus Christ, and is given by faith to everyone who believes. The only way you can get it is receive it as a gift. You can't earn it or deserve it. You have to receive it as a gift. So that's what I'm doing. I'm pronouncing that God has a gift for you. He gave his son, made him the most famous person in history. Now, I don't care what they say about all these other folks. You keep hearing them talking about Socrates, you didn't get out the grave, buddy. Your philosophy couldn't get you out the tomb. Hello. So the only one who did that is Jesus. And God did it, and so you would know he is the only one that has the solution to the problem. David the king, or slash psalmist, I put, because David was a multi-talented person. God made him the king from being a shepherd, and he was a writer of songs to praise God. He was having led by God, the Holy Spirit wrote a song about the blessedness of the ones to whom God will not charge with the rightful punishment for their sin, but on the other hand, will provide the grace necessary to forgive them, which he would in turn write it off. God's going to write your sin off if you trust my son, and charge it to his son, Jesus, for all who trust in him. Wow, what a deal. That's a deal, isn't it? I love it. I don't know about you. I like to make it plain so people understand it. It's a great deal. I'm going to write your sin off, paid in full, if you trust my son. So even Paul, who referred to himself as the chief of sinners, confesses to Timothy, his son in the faith, that he, being the chief of sinners, was blessed about having the blood of Jesus charged to his account, and therefore receiving God's free grace and even being used in the ministry in spite of his condition. This proves exactly what it means to be cleansed by the power of God's grace by the blood of Jesus, his son. So it's our, that's a simple message, and I'm done. Y'all might say, well, I'm surprised. I just want you to understand that. That's the most important message that the world has ever seen or ever heard. And we want to make sure you understand it, and that is plain. There's no reason you should leave this room and not be saved. Because we have made it clear what God requires of you. You know what? That's just the beginning. God's got some more blessedness for you. When he starts to open up and unfold his word, you're going to say, wow, boy, I didn't see that. I never knew this. And you're going to be learning every day more and more and more. You're going to be calling on him more and more. Like Brother Patey, the situation he went through, God came in the midst of that thing and worked it out. See, we've all had experiences like that, but that's what it's like. You get to know the Creator. You get to know that he loves me.
He has made a way for me. He gave his son for me. And you start to learn how you can love him back. Amen. That's what it's about. You know, the word is so rich, so beautiful. I wonder, how did you stay out of there so long? How did you stay out of that book so long? There's so much in there, good stuff that you need to know. This thing is going to stick to you. My, my. Somebody must have put something on it. Amen. Well, I'll do this.
But there's a will, there's a way.
Hey. So I just want to make sure it's my joy, first of all, and my responsibility to make sure everybody understands that. God loves you just like you are. And you know what? Nobody in this room can say I am perfect and I've never done any more sin since I got saved. No one. They could say it, but it would be a lie. Nope. The Bible says if you say you have no sin, you lie. And the truth is not in it. So everyone has sin. You got an issue. But the solution to the problem God has given you. So today I want you to know that he loved you. He gave Christ for you. I'd like you to stand in the room if you don't mind, everyone, please, if you're able. And let's pray. I always like to just ask people to pray right where you are. Ask Jesus to come into your life. Tell God that you believe him. And he will account that to you for righteousness. Let's pray. Lord God, we bless you today, Father. We praise you. Oh God, we lift you up. We understand that word, that message that you just gave. That your son, Jesus, is the savior of the world. There's no other. And you raise him out the grave. That's how we know that he is the one that has the solution to the problem. Father, we know we have a problem. We have sinned and come short of your glory. So today, Lord, we heard the good news that if we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that you raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. We trust you and your word, Father, because your word is beautiful. It's right. It's never failed. It'll be standing, you said, when the heavens and the earth have passed away. And so, Lord God, we come today as humbly as we can with no guile in our spirit to ask you to save us just like we are, Father. We thank you for that good news that you will do that because of the merit of Christ, what he provides for each one of us. Save us today, Lord. We need you right now. We thank you for letting us be in the world without you all this time, Father. But we ask today that you make the relationship with us closer and closer. Help us to come into your grace, your mercy, and your understanding, Father. We thank you for saving us right now in the name of Jesus. So we ask you to fill everyone that asks you into their life right now, God, with your precious spirit. Lead them and guide them to the waters of baptism that they might be confirmed that they are in the church, a part of the body of Christ.
Yes,
we love you today, Father. We give you the praise. We ask all this in the matchless name of your son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And it's in his name we pray, and the whole church said together.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead and give God a hand of praise. Amen. Amen. And if you're here and you don't have a church home, we want to invite you at this time. We roll out the red carpet for you. Amen. To come at this time, we'd like to be a part of your learning process and continue to disciple you. And so we accept you today as a member if you'd like to come. We'd like to give that opportunity to everyone. We don't want you to leave, say they never invited us to be a part of our church. And so we want to invite you in. There's really one church, and it just meets in a lot of different places. But we meet here, and we're here for serious business. We want to make sure we tell everybody who we cross paths with in all the world the way that God has prepared to save them. Amen. But if you'd like to join us in that effort, we give you that opportunity at this time. Amen. We used to sing a song. I'm going to sing it today just for a minute. Come, come to Jesus while you
have time. Come to Jesus. Make up your mind. He will make your life brand new. He will take care of you. Come to Jesus while you have time.
Amen. We ain't seated there enough. What we've done as God commands. We hope you got a good word from the message today. Amen. Amen. We thank God for letting us be here. We want to give special thanks to all the visitors who are here today. Amen. We thank you for coming. We hope this won't be your last trip.